Recording it. Can now you can talk.
I can talk now.
Yep.
Welcome to crippled. Welcome to the episode of Crippled System, episode meow.
So when you said you could intro us, you meant that you were physically incapable of introing us.
Words were difficult. Things happened. Mistakes were made. It is midnight. Otherwise known as 8 p.m.
I just misspelled Zappity because you were distracting me. So this is hashtag Zappitoo Grumble.
My name is Brian and I play Scorn.
My name is Nathan and I paint. Katie reads character articles.
My name is Katie and I play Circle.
My name is Jeremy or Valiant 418. I play Rhett and Legion. And this is episode 65.
I said 65.
You did not.
I said, well, meow.
You said you meow.
That's
you
cat said for, meow.
Meow.
And then you said 65.
Meow
right
is
after
cat
it.
65.
Just because you have poor listening skills didn't mean it doesn't happen.
Well, as all of our devices explode with Nate's tweet.
I must turn the volume down.
Give me my phone.
I think it's like an echo of death of. One last.
Apparently, my phone takes 2 seconds longer than yours.
The internet
do.
Takes longer to get to your phone than our phones. Announcements!
I'm Andy.
Oh,
yeah. You skipped someone.
Yeah.
Somebody's outside.
Yeah, it's Dan. He's out there.
Oh, Dan's here.
Dan's here.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Close the door.
Oh, sexy. Yep.
Dan is dancing for us.
Oh, I don't need the coins, though.
What is happening?
Paint them. All right.
Isn't there music?
Dan came to deliver.
Yeah. Oh, I got more stuff.
And
I got my t-shirt. Awesome.
This is craziness. Things are happening.
Sturgis the Corrupted and Sturgis the... Do you
non-corrupted.
Have a kit for both of them?
There.
Why are we
talking?
Oh, there's
another buddy.
All right.
Hey, Andy just got 2 Kickstarter models.
He did get 2. You didn't
actually, they're not
yourself?
Technically Kickstarter. Sturgis isn't Kickstarter related, right?
Yeah,
yes.
Oh, he was? Okay.
You will be able to get him later, but he was a Kickstarter model also.
Gotcha.
Thanks, Dan.
Dan from our local
car hero
was able to get his early.
The soon-to-be winner of Adepticon, Dan.
Am I getting here tonight?
There, I've hyped him up.
No,
I've hyped
you
up, Dan.
No,
the shipping people told me it was delivered today.
Well, they lied.
They lied.
Unless it's in the mailbox. I didn't check the mailbox.
Well, you told everyone your models are coming and we're all outside. Or you check the mailbox.
I asked Katie to check and see if the package came. Apparently that did not include the place where packages go, a.k.a.
no,
the mailbox.
Packages go on the front step.
They're at small
letters
package.
Letters go in the mailbox. It's I didn't know that.
It's about the size of a letter.
It's like 4 blisters, like war machine blisters. So
I don't know what a blister is.
It's like the size of a VHS tape.
Yeah.
So, hey, speaking of which, both my parents and I still have our VCRs.
I'm sorry.
I play Mercs.
I was excited about it.
Still having your VCR is good because it means you can watch older movies that aren't on DVD, like Scavenger Hunt.
Or Gerbert.
The TV show sure. Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place is still not on DVD.
Oh, why is that
which
not
has both
on DVD?
Ryan Reynolds and Nathan Fillion in it.
Yeah, that's true.
Amongst some other great cast members.
It is an amazing
it got,
show.
It renamed to Two Guys and a Girl eventually because the end of Pizza Place was too long.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just a little tidbit of information that if they put Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place on DVD, I might buy it.
Fun trivia.
Oh, also, Crippled System is sponsored by nobody, so someone should fix that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, give us money.
Or free stuff. We'll take free stuff.
We'll see. Like, sponsored by...
I would prefer money.
Mentos.
The Fresh Maker.
Yeah. Like, however, fill it in with whatever you want.
If we get money, then I can spend it on stuff that's actually cool.
Oh, my God. We could totally be sponsored by Mentos. Because, like, you know, you'd be, like, losing a game of War Machine, and then you just, like, pop a Mentos and the music would play, and then
and
you
then
do
you'd
a,
win.
A come-from-behind assassination victory, and it'd be great.
Or just put it in a bottle of Coke and spray your opponent, and then when they leave, they death clock themselves.
Yeah, it's true.
That would work, too.
Just blast their models off the table and say, irrevocable game state, you concede.
I cast my feet and everything everywhere.
My feet is Mentos plus Coke.
You're going to make that motion. It looks like you're just peeing on them.
That's what I often do sometimes. It's actually a backup plan.
That's why he has such a good win record.
Yes.
See, he marks his territory. He's like, this is my deployment zone. He just pisses on it.
Sure.
Round 2, the guy's like, what's going on over here?
Wow.
I play Mercs.
Yes, you do.
Now you had an announcement.
Announcements! Adepticons in like 2 days. Yay.
Yay.
April 19th, Cedar Rapids, event number 3 in their 4-pack type event.
Yep.
Maybe the music guys will show up this time.
Probably not. Nope. Colin may be there. I don't know about the music crew.
The Miami crew actually
the
has
Miami
the balls
crew will
show
up
places, but the actual main crew is like...
Let's be honest. Let's break it down here. The Miami crew had the balls to show up and go 0-6. Hey. So they were there, but...
Which I don't know how you got paired against one of them in the last round. So they must
because they both got a bye, okay. And so he was in the final round one and two, and I was the pair down at 2-1.
Okay. Fun trivia, that's the seventh sentence in a row Jeremy has finished for somebody else.
Was it?
Yes.
I thought we were going to work on not interrupting people.
I should probably preface this by saying I've been drinking since 5:30.
Okay.
With coworkers.
So someone just hold Jeremy's mouth shut.
When we walked in and I seemed mildly annoyed and he seemed really happy, there was a reason for that.
It's because he's a little tipsy. Yeah, I'll take that as a yes. Wonderful.
All right. So May 3rd, there is a Madison event where I am giving away every Kickstarter model that has just been announced.
I think we're hanging on to Iacos.
I am actually, someone has donated the Iacos and the Lewis, local Lewis player, has donated two of those models.
Sweet.
We Iacoca?
Yep. And a forum person, Solvane from the forums, may be donating some of the Convergence Steel Soul keg.
Really?
I already have three, but you can play five in a certain theme force, and I don't think I ever would, but I probably want to have five Steel Soul Protectors, so I technically could.
It's a 35-point Commander's Crucible, limited to five rounds, have to play each list once, and I'll have the whatever the per limit is once we actually have the... format.
Is Commander's Crucible by definition three? Or
It's three lists.
It's always three lists.
0 to 15 points of a standard, you know, units and solos that are the same in all three lists, and then you have three unique battle groups that follow character restrictions.
Yep.
It's a really interesting format. I like it in concept. I hope that it's as good in practice as it is in theory, because I'm excited for it.
I would if it actually turns out to be good, I'll never play another Mangled Matter or Highlander event again. I would only do Commander Crucible. I think those other two formats are inferior in theory to this.
We have to
actually play it and see if that's true.
Certainly for Rhett, they are. Mangled Metal is miserable with Rhett.
A lot of factors.
I mean, and it just gets wonky. Like Mangled Metal in general, it's not balanced.
There's certain casters that blow it out of the water. Like, you know, like Crick's casters specifically, yep. Scar 2 and
Peak Orchid.
Yeah, Peak Orchid.
Some factions are kind of built with their support. Like poor Menoth, they're an amazing Jack faction when they're allowed to bring the choir and vassals. And when you're not allowed to, they kind of suck. And so, you know, this helps them.
That event will have $20 per person for that event, because there's a lot of expensive things. I mean, that's all my money. I'm obviously reimbursing myself for a lot of the Kickstarter for those models.
You should make it $25 and then have Papa Bears deliver.
That would be pretty sweet.
Well, order it. We can have people sign up at the door and say, do you want to chip in five extra dollars?
We'll have to call Papa Bears ahead of time, because otherwise we'll run into that. We can only send 10 per turn with Papa Bears, otherwise we break Papa Bears.
Could call ahead early.
Say, we're sending everyone.
The look of terror on that poor, like, 15-year-old girl's eyes when, like, there were 12 of us there, and she's, like, panting, trying to get everything done, and then 20 more people walk through the door, and she's just like, oh, God.
Too many people. Oh.
That was pretty good.
So, yeah, and also there may be, depending on how the turnout is, that we'll still have a surplus of money, so there probably will be some gift cards. I'm going to be putting some of that into future death clocks as well, so that's going to be funding a lot of our internal things, but a lot of cool prizes.
Yeah, the prizes are very cool.
That's May 3rd at Misty Mountain. The sign-up is on Privateer Press official site. I think I have it up to, I think I can take a gazillion people, but I think I have the initial
Ben Lang can't sign up on Privateer Press because he's banned.
What?
What?
His IP is banned.
For what?
He doesn't know. No one knows.
Like, honestly, all of a sudden he's
probably
IP banned?
Probably because he's a Dieter. A dirty Dieter.
He said something about getting some spyware on his computer, and maybe that was related. But yeah, his IP is just banned on the Privateer Press forum. And like one of the PP staffers saw his post on Brian's page and was like, that doesn't make sense. I'll look into that.
Did he tell Jason Souls that he was being truthy? Because that's the last IP ban they did. Should I not call out another internet douchebag?
And that only one per month.
Okay. Yeah. Somebody did message me on Facebook. They're like, hey, I don't listen to podcasts. Who did you guys tear off on?
By the way, you have to call Gary, Gary, a.k.a. Fool. You're a douchebag. He said he thought he got confused about what we were saying. He thought we were insulting someone else. And he's like, how dare you say such mean things about so-and-so? I'm like, no. Listen to it again. We weren't picking it. He's like, oh, it's okay. That guy's a douche.
Yeah.
So Fool invited me to his birthday, and I was like, oh, that's really nice. And then I realized he invited like 100 people, and then I felt
and
not so special.
He invited me too, and he invited – they were going to be in Iowa. So take that, Gary, a.k.a. Fool, a.k.a. Schmuck. Gary.
I heard that his trays are sold out on Cool Mini or Not. Do you guys know if that's true?
Yeah.
I was one of the local guys was like, that tray you have is really cool. Where do I get it? I was like, Cool Mini or Not. And someone else was like, nope, they're sold out. So I don't know where you get them now.
So fix that, Gary.
Sold out for a while.
Where do you get them now?
Well, he has to make more and send
them.
He has
to make more and send them to Cool Mini or Not.
He has to resupply them. I don't know. I don't know how often he resupplies them. That's for him to figure out.
I already have a full tray, and I need to buy another full tray because I have one of the older ones. But Privateer Press changed the base size of their models just slightly,
just a bit.
A couple years ago,
the 30 mil.
The small
40 and 50 work.
Right? Which it seems that means that the models either are no longer or didn't used to be actually 30 millimeters.
No. They're actually 31 millimeters. New Privateer bases are like. Just like a tenth over of what the previous were. Yeah. The old bases are actually 30 mil.
Yeah, so that means, you know, that's gameplay right there. Right. I mean, my small base models now have a larger footprint on the table.
Yeah.
That's like a millimeter extra free strike range they have.
It's not even a millimeter. It's like...
It adds up.
I have to rebase all my old models, what you're saying. I need to
this. You're teching it, baby. Put all your new... Just buy a shitload of the new small bases and break the system.
I got a whole bunch. I'll just trade you because I don't like how their bases are.
I don't like... I have to put these things like diagonal and half wedged into my full trays because they won't fit all the way down.
The problem with them that I have is I do a lot of pinning, obviously. But when I try to pin on those bases, it goes through one side just fine, but the other side looks like a gunshot wound. So there's just like a giant explosion on the other side of the base where my drill.
No tapping.
No tapping whatever. On the table.
Yeah, no touching.
No touching.
No touching.
They don't allow bees in here.
Did you guys hear the angry bees outside when you came in?
I did hear some weird noise, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of angry bees.
It's a beehive. Outside.
That's our theory.
Yeah.
It's a beehive the size of a Chrysler building.
That they turn on and off at times.
Robotic bees.
So that's announcements.
Announcements are done.
Announcements, bees.
The other Cedar Rapids event actually had to move its date. For those of you that were planning on it being...
It was supposed to be May 10th. It's now. I just said that.
He announced that it's on the 19th. Yeah, he did not specify that was a new date.
It got moved. It's April 19th. No, I'm sorry. It used to be April 26th.
Yeah, it's the April
date. Now it's April 19th.
Yeah. Okay.
Isn't April 19th not a weekend?
It's a Saturday.
That's what Brian said, though.
Yeah. I didn't say it was a new date.
I didn't say it was a change date, but I did announce it. But yeah, you are correct. It got changed from the 26th to the 19th. The 26th is a Magic pre-release date, so stores that sell Magic have to
sell
Magic. Also, there's an event in Cedar Rapids, Iowa on the 19th. I'm not sure if we mentioned that, but that's on the 19th.
There's an event in Cedar Rapids on the 19th?
Yeah, it's not on the 26th.
Not on the 26th.
Hey, do you know that Gary's having a party that same day?
On the 26th and the 19th. They should move it again.
Is he having Holy shit, they're coming up with another Star Wars.
Is he having the party in Springfield at Crit's house?
Probably.
Criminy.
I hate you guys.
All right.
You too.
Oh, speaking of which.
Of hatred or Star Wars?
Jeremy told me he hated me this weekend because I discovered something that he wasn't aware of. It's so good. He didn't know Elton John was gay.
What? I mean, it made perfect sense, but I was not previously fully aware that it was a definite, for sure thing.
Woo, I can't believe Liberace was gay.
I mean, it makes sense.
We were listening to the radio, and they were talking about how England just
legalized gay marriage.
Yeah. And he was like, I didn't know he was gay. That makes sense.
It does make sense.
Wow. I got a little lightheaded there.
Thank you for remembering that, darling. That was really good for me. I appreciate it.
That's kind of made my night.
Like, I can understand, like, I didn't realize.
Are you a fan of the, have you ever heard songs from a Queen? Are you familiar with them?
One thing if you're like, I didn't realize Ian McKellen was gay, you know, or something like
that. That's what I knew.
Right, but Elton John, like, he's made out of sequins and earrings.
I don't know that I've ever seen, like, him. I've heard his music.
Which is super gay.
I don't watch videos of him.
His music is super gay.
Have you
ever
seen any picture of him? He has, like, giant star and heart sunglasses.
Do you always wonder why his dick's in your ass all the time? There you go. What's that doing there?
The least gay he's ever looked is when he was dressed as a giant duck.
There you go. I just looked up giant pictures of Elton John.
I could believe he was gay, but it doesn't jump out at you.
No straight man wears glasses like
from those. From this angle, he looks like Bono.
He does look a little bit like Bono.
From my very angle, it's a
pudgy, effeminate Bono.
Yeah, that's exactly what he looks like.
Bajo's gay, fat twin.
Yeah.
They're wearing the same shades.
You know what? I've never seen him in the same place. Maybe it's like a werewolf. Like, Bono just gets fat and gay, and he just, like, has a different identity.
That is actually very scary, though. To our internet crew that's listening, try looking up just Elton John and Google image search, and then do immediately search for Bono after that.
The same pictures.
And it's really pretty goddamn because
they're all the same stupid sunglasses.
Yeah. So it's really bizarre.
Wow. Just saying that, you know, I feel all right about not having been sure about this before.
But Bono in the 80s did not look like that.
You shouldn't feel all right about it, Jeremy.
No, you should not. Do not take Bono as solace in the fact that you did not know Elton John was gay.
I do take solace.
Wow. So announcements, Elton John is gay.
Wow.
He's an 11. From duh.
Welcome to 1996.
Moving on.
All right. An actual topic. We have one.
This will be a short podcast.
He had a love song that he wrote like in the 70s to a dude, and like the character's name, it isn't just like gender neutral. He sings, he's like, "Hey Billy, I love you."
Like, I probably never heard that song.
It's not Billy though. What is the name of that song? Shit. But the point is, like, it's right out there. Okay, moving on
to a topic
that 80% of us have something to say about.
Yes,
stop slamming the table.
I'm not tapping it, though. I'm slamming it.
That's true.
Yeah. I moved on to just pound.
Full-on slam.
All right. Four of us have... I received a copy of a game called Foretold Rise of a God, which is currently being kickstarted right now. It's like in the day 8 or 9 of the Kickstart process. I know a person. His name's Steve Port. He runs Legion Games in Minnesota. It's a game store, and he sells like sleeves. One of his friends made this game. Another one of his friends did the artwork for it. And it's pretty sweet. Jeremy, myself, Katie, and Nathan. It's a four-player game, so we only had four of us.
I was not invited.
Yeah, because, you know. So that's your fault for making it only four players. I want to read the little blurb here, and then we can talk about it. It's basically a turn-based strategy game that combines familiar elements of deck building and combative dice game in a new, exciting way. When I first looked at it, when he sent it to me, I opened it up. I'm like, okay, I immediately thought deck building because it's basically just a shitload of cards. You know, I'm like, okay. Then there's this pile of tiles. I'm like, what the hell are these tiles for?
So the company that helps support Sleeves,
yeah,
is supporting a game that has a ton of cards.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just but, wanted to make sure of that.
But well, his friend's the one who actually designed it. You know, obviously outside of that, but.
Brian's train of thought.
It's not a duck building game.
It's
is what you were getting to.
So I look at it. I mean, it has it. But you have it. You start with a hand of cards, and your cards. The only element it has, like deck building, is your six starting cards or your four starting cards have a value that you use to buy more cards. And also, like a deck building game, your cards have two values. One has a combat value. One has a buy card value. And then there's flavor text that do a bunch of other things. But what makes the game interesting is you have a lot of different phases. You have these tiles to your in front of you, which is your temple. And then your temple symbols tell you whether you can have how many cards in your hand. Your temple is how many artifacts you can have, because there's a deck of cards called Faithful, which are the people you buy to go into your temple. Or you have this stack of cards, which is your raiding party, which you actually use to attack other players. So then you can be buying you buy more cards to attack players, and you can buy these relics to actually you put them in your temple. And the way you win the game is either you raid your opponents till they're dead, or you collect. Basically four artifacts. There's like four themes in the game. There's like a prosperity deck, a grace deck, a chaos deck, and a wisdom deck. These are called like fate decks. And there's these relics that all match up with these styles. And if you collect four of a set, you also win the game. So there's like multiple ways to win the game. And when you're playing it, you're always trying to determine how much offense am I doing versus how much defense. Am I going to buy things to make my temple bigger and defend it more? Am I going to buy more relics to make myself better this way, or am I going to buy more? Or am I going to try to get cards that let me get more fate cards to play crazy tricks like plus defense, plus attack, steal, you know, other actions? And we played it twice because the first time we played it, the game, like any game you play, when we first played Firefly the board game, the game took like 75 hours, if memory serves right. It was just a super long.
I think technically we're still playing it.
Yeah. So the first game of Firefly went forever, and the first game of this went quite a while. And then we kind of took a step back, and we played it again. The second game took about 2 hours. It was really close to the two-hour mark, which they say it should be about 30 minutes per player. So we kind of were in the target demographic for that. And I really liked it a lot. I mean, if you guys have any thoughts or comments on it.
I'm glad that they're still playtesting. There's a bit of polish available, but that's, you know, the whole purpose of playtesting. I think that with a little bit of polish, it is a game that if somebody in our group owned it, I would not be sad to play it at any given time. Like, I wouldn't just shove it in a closet and forget about it or anything like that. I'd be like, that was neat to play once.
It's like Power Grid where you'd hate it and burn it.
Right. No, like, I if you guys were like, hey, let's play Foretold again, I'd be like, sure, yeah, I'm down for a game of Foretold.
The cool thing is because we were kind of helping the guy, because we got a prototype copy of the game. I mean, it's being Kickstarted, but they made like four or five prototypes out, and they've been sending them out to people to play. And I actually had to email the person who created the game. His name's Jay. And I sent him all of our I had like 2.5 pages of notes from what we had, and he was really excited on our comments. And he already said, like, I basically gave him a bullet point of our comments, and he already came back and like half of them they've already addressed, like here these are already like fixed or modified. And he really liked some of our suggestions for just tweaking a couple little things. And like in a month or two, he wants to send me a much more closer version of the final and have us like try it out and see how we feel the near final copy.
Yeah, I think when we played it the first time was terrible because we didn't know the rules and everyone took forever. But the second time it went a lot. The turns were quicker. You didn't feel like you were sitting around waiting for everyone else to do their turn. I think there are a lot of layers to the game. Like we each kind of took a different strategy in the second game, and some worked a little bit better than others. But there are definitely room for improvement. And I think that it's one of those games that the more you play it, the better the strategy gets, as opposed to some games where you play it and there's like, well, this is clearly the best strategy that you should go for, and there isn't any deviation from it.
With the four, because there's a four fate decks and they're all themed very differently, and the game kind of pushes it where you don't want to kind of go down the same road as somebody else. So it's kind of nice in that regard, because if you go down the same road as someone else, you can't possibly collect the same four relics. So you're completely eliminated in one of the two ways to win the game.
Right,
so,
but I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing, because let's say If you want to go down, let's say, the prosperity deck, but you don't think that your plan is to kill everyone else, supposed to get all the things,
yeah,
then getting one or two of the relics, you can still play a lot of the really good cards.
True.
There. The downside of that, obviously, is then you can't, you know, get up to the really, really good cards, but if that's not your game plan is I'm going to mass a bunch of troops and then just, like, go kill people, then you definitely stop someone else from winning, and you can still play decent cards.
One caveat / warning I will say for anybody who's interested in this, looking to pick it up or a Kickstarter or whatever, is that this isn't a negative thing. It's just something that for some people is a negative thing, is that it does have player elimination as a main mechanic in the game. So, like, the second game we played, Katie got eliminated, and there was still another hour of gameplay to go. I mean, she was fine. She had her iPad. If it was a social thing where it was like game night and there were a dozen people mixing up games, you can always drop and pick up another game. That happens all the time.
Or buy an iPad.
Right, or buy an iPad. And but, you know, some people really dislike that as a thing. But it is a part of the game. It's very victory condition, so just a caveat there.
The one flip side, and I do agree that it is good to point out, because some people, you're right, don't like player elimination.
Yeah, and I'm fine with it, but some people don't.
The flip side is sometimes you play some of those Euro games where, like, no one will ever get eliminated, but you know on, like, turn five that you've played nothing terribly wrong, so you can't get eliminated because... Like,
and you wish you could just quit.
Yeah. Yeah. This is Evander. We played with Pat the one time, and he did his first three turns wrong. So, like, turns 4 through 13, he just sat there in the corner like a broken person who could never actually accomplish anything. So we didn't eliminate him per se, but he wished he would have been allowed to just die and move on with his day. But yeah, but some people will still enjoy that element more. They have this, like, false hope that they can catch up.
Right.
There's still, you know, a theoretical chance because they're in the game versus just being dead in the corner because we stabbed Katie to death.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, the reason I died, too, is no one person in the game went after me and the table didn't gang up on me. It's just that there are other ways to do damage to the whole table, and I chose the Wisdom deck, which doesn't have a lot of healing, and I paired it with the attacking deck, so I was, like, shenanigans and attacking, but no healing, so as everyone else was getting a little bit of damage done and then healing a little bit, I was just getting a little bit of damage done over the course of
the final blow is on. I just did a point to everyone. You didn't even kill in combat. You just got like a little.
And prior to that, I just did 4 damage to her with cards. Like, I don't think she took more.
Angry at me.
I was a little, but I don't think she took more than a quarter of her health in combat damage. Yeah. She just got nickled and dimed to death by idols and direct damage.
Any thoughts, Jeremy?
I guess not anything beyond what you guys have already said. I will say that for those of you that have played Magic previously, the four quote-unquote fate decks, the colors of them are red, blue, white, and green. And if you've played Magic, you have a pretty good idea where those decks lean.
Yeah.
Like, the guys that designed the game were clearly Magic players, which isn't a bad thing. I'm just saying the red deck has direct burn and make your guy super beefy on attack. The white deck has heal and make your guy super beefy on defense. Blue has shenanigans.
And green
has money, which would be rapid growth in Magic. And then it has make your monster do cool things for money. So, I mean, it was pretty heavily based on the Magic colors. So, for what it's worth, you know, if you like that sort of thematic thing, then great. And if not, then maybe not. But
I think that's in a lot of games, though. I mean, this one's
it is Magic specific, this one's more blatant about it.
Well, I would say Magic is built on cliches. I mean, like, white is purity and healing and protection. I mean, green is prosperity. I mean, those are cliches. Blue being the manipulative counterspell funky thing. I mean, maybe do research, but you're right, that could possibly be Magic invented that particular combination.
But the other nice thing about it is if you sit down and play it for the first time and the four of you don't know what color you want to go after, think about what Magic color you like. Go for that color.
Yeah. What's interesting to me, when I first played it, and luckily the guys who made this have put a couple of videos on Twitch when they have the gameplay videos, the whole element where you play your hand and you don't like have a discard pile, you just keep replaying your hand, would have confused the crap out of me just trying to read that in the rule book.
Because the rules use the phrase discard
repeatedly,
but everything you discard, you just get back at the end of the turn.
Yeah, you have to divide it between your raiding card and your hand, so there's still this diversity, but you know that the element's different. So it's neat that it kind of has a couple elements that aren't in other games.
How did the game work out from just reading just the rules and then trying to play the game? Did you need an outside source, or was it
up to do on the rule book, but I think that's just something that you know they have to go through a lot of third party to get objective, because they understand it because they
build know it. Yeah.
So I think doing things like the playtesting will clean that up a lot. Yeah.
Consistency. Like, raiding was described in three different spots in the rule book, which, number one, is overkill. Yeah. Number two, they weren't consistent with each other.
And he even said I was removing some of that. I did pull that up.
Yeah. And I'm sure by the time that it comes out, they'll have cleaned it up.
I'm giving myself a disability with games since so many games have videos. Like, it's so hard for me. I don't even – when I get a game, I almost watch videos before I, like, read rule books anymore, because I just love that – because then I watch a video, then I can read the rules, and things just fall into place so much faster. So I haven't actually – in the last year, I haven't got a game where I haven't watched videos before reading the book, which is probably breaking my brain a little bit. But, yeah, no, in a game, it's – I mean, the Kickstarter, it's only like $50. It's $45 or $50 to get the copy of the game, which is pretty sweet.
That's game price.
Yeah. And then if you go a little bit higher, like I did the $90. And $90 gives you the game. It gives you the playmat, which the playmats, you don't need a playmat because you can just put the decks down. But the playmat says everything goes here and here, and it's just very organized and neat. And then it also comes with some card sleeves. You can sleeve the game real easily. And then it also comes with a travel box. You can actually, like, take it with you. Because card games are kind of annoying where you store them, so that, you know, I just went with a kit that gave me all that in one package.
Yeah, I will say for those of you that are like, oh, well, I'll just get the game, the playmat was actually really cool. Like, I legitimately think the playmat is worth pledging at the higher level, but...
Yeah, especially for, like, the markets, because you flip up, like X face-up cards, and the playmat having those as specific slots was helpful.
Is the playmat something that, and you might not know this, but something that they could buy afterwards? Like, they didn't pledge, but then they can buy it, you know, for $20.
I think there's
afterwards.
Intent for that, but I don't know for sure. I would assume there is going to be, because they did call it out separately. I'm pretty sure that's going to be a separate purchasable item. And so, a game like this is going to have, expansions are going to fit so easily in a game like this, which is kind of nice.
Yes. Yeah. Long and short of it, if this game existed now, I would recommend purchasing it. Yeah. It's worth having in your game group.
It's a first game. This game is technically the game that broke my no buy a new board game rule this year.
That's true.
Because everything else I bought with gift cards and whatnot. And this is I made it to April 1st. Or no, it's March 31st.
Not quite
April. And I broke down and finally they won't take my money till next month, so I technically didn't pay for it yet. So I will be in April when I actually get charged for it.
I suppose that counts.
But it did break my no buy a new game rule. So damn you, Steve, and
you almost made it a full quarter.
I almost did.
Well, you technically did.
Yeah, cause technically they're going
to charge. Because the money won't
come out. The money's not coming out.
The games, they're expecting it to be ready to go by August. And considering they already have prototypes, and on their Kickstarter, their like latest update 6, shows like some final versions of some of the cards. You can see from even what we have the playtest, the final versions are really cleaned up versus what we have.
Is there going to be worth it for multiple people to get that in a gaming group, or is it going to be one of those games where, you know, like one person gets it and that's it?
I think in general, I mean, most of our groups, we usually have one person buy a game.
So, So it's an actual just self.
It's not a game you need two copies of.
Okay. So it's all self-contained.
Yes. Outside of LCGs, there's no reason to have two copies of any game. You know, it's a board game. It's not an LCG.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I wanted to clarify to make sure.
I mean, there are.
It's kind of like there's no reason to have two copies of Sentinels of the Multiverse. You know, even though it's a card game, it's not like having a second copy gains you anything. Yeah, it's just like that.
Of our group, we have a couple duplicates, but you know, it's pretty rare. We usually try to avoid buying the same.
And most of those duplicates either predate us gaming together a lot, or it's just like for the heck of it, like just in case. Like, we love this game, so in case we're ever not together.
Or one of us had it, and the other one was like, well, I want to go introduce this other game group I play with, too, I bought a copy.
Well, like, you have Mall Horror, and I wanted to get Mall Horror, so I picked it up myself, too.
Yeah. But I paid retail price because it wasn't out of print at the time. Ha-ha.
I didn't actually pay that much for mine. I think it was like $75.80 or something like that.
It's down to two digits.
Yeah. That's a really good game. Everyone should play that too.
But I'm going to give. We played Myth over the weekend, and Jim gave Myth a rating. And I'm going to give this game. He said he rated. I found it amusing. He said it's either on the high end of good or the low end of great. He wasn't quite sure how to rate Myth after the first game. We liked it, but we needed to see more of it. And this game, I would agree, it's either high end of good or low end of great. So it's definitely a game you want to play more.
Myth was more of kind of like a Warhammer Quest type thing. Yep. That's from what I heard.
Yep.
I meant to leave, and then I just sat on my couch.
I've had days like that.
It's like, I wanted to go play it, and I'm like, oh, no.
I worked and worked and worked, and then I got off of work, and I went. Were you guys at Pegasus?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I went over to Pegasus, and apparently you'd already left because they were having a concert there.
We were in the back room of the store, but we left by 5.
Yeah.
Stupid Lewis was supposed to be at our podcast yesterday, on Saturday night.
What a bum.
And he went there to play Myth, but didn't come to the podcast.
Jerks.
Bum. Jerks.
I hung out with my mom.
Well, you shouldn't have been on the other podcast, because that's the other crew.
No, I know. I'm just, we were all saying what we were doing Saturday. I was just contributing to the conversation.
Was it fun?
There's a lot of sitting, which I enjoy, so there's that.
Sitting's fun.
Sitting is fun. A lot of iPad playing.
Nice.
So,
learning Jeremy's nuances.
I don't know. He was playing with my niece. He was the toy.
He's playing with your niece?
Niece. She has a 4-year-old niece.
Just learning about Jeremy.
So she's like your mental age as far as knowledge of the world. Yeah. You guys are quizzing each other.
Her niece was like, yeah, I knew Elton John was gay, duh.
Her niece probably did know that.
What's our next topic? Katie, what's our next topic?
Do we have a Katie's Corner this week?
Don't move your caster up.
That's been your topic like 4 times. It's a good point. I'll grant you that.
I'm not very creative.
Here's a topic.
There's
Final Four, motherfuckers.
I know, right?
By a single point in overtime. Hell yeah.
We do actually.
What's hilarious is I missed the Badgers game. And so then I went into Menards the next morning, and they had a big stack of newspapers there. And every one of the newspapers had a "you should subscribe to this newspaper" sticker directly over the score headline. It's like, you cock-blocking bastard.
So I sent like these pictures on my Twitter and my Facebook feed starts going off like crazy. And I'm like, I don't see why. I don't see why. All I see is a million people in the States. It's like, well, maybe they're rioting. I don't know what's going on downtown. I don't know. Is there a protest or a riot?
It's a Saturday.
It's a Saturday. It's a Madison Saturday. All the kids are out. But I mean, it was like packed. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, so then finally someone started posting some Badger stuff. Because I was just completely in the middle of doing other things, and I looked online.
It might have been a game I might have enjoyed. I rarely watch basketball games because, man, they're so boring sometimes.
College basketball is a lot better. The NBA is awful. I hate pro basketball. I think it's the worst sport that's mainstream American. And it's only the worst because I don't count NASCAR as a sport, because come on, who are we fucking kidding?
I really dislike following. That's the main thing that really annoys me about it, is just following in basketball.
I like following when it's the strategic maneuvering at the end of the game. You know what I mean? When they're timing the clock and they're deciding whether following and giving the free throws is better or worse statistically than letting them take the shot, and they're doing that to stop the clock so they get possession back. To me, those last like 5 minutes of a basketball game are the most interesting part, because until that, it's just like 2 points, 2 points, 2 points, 2 points. You know,
3 points.
Yeah. Ooh, 3 points. That's a big. Oh wait, 2 points. Like, it's. Especially pro, because pro, the final score of the game is 196 to 190, and it's like, well, who fucking cares about those first 150 points? Like, only the last 5 minutes were interesting or exciting. Also, they never call defensive fouls. Or they never call, sorry, they never call offensive fouls. The NBA, all of it, has the same problem I have with pass interference in the NFL, which is that they never call it against the offense.
Yeah. It's true. So we actually, I guess we do have a, well, maybe.
Andy's bringing up the letter.
Andy's attempting to bring up the letter. We do have a Katie's Corner letter reading.
I don't know that I'll read it well. I had a kind of a really shitty day.
But you're
so
fine
we
now.
So this will cheer you up. We can hold off.
We can keep holding off. That's fine. Well, it'll keep people in anticipation. Every week they'll be like, is this the week?
And then it's going to be a bad letter.
And it won't be next week because it'll be like 4 hours of battle.
It will be 4 hours of Adepticon.
Well, we could still read it next week.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, what I could do is, I completely forgot. I meant to actually print it out because it'll be a lot easier to read on paper than it would be to read on a monitor that
you
has
know
no mouse.
I do have a Katie's Corner about Candy Crush specifically. It makes me mad because they had an update, and now when you lose the game, they say give up instead of end game, and that pisses me off because I'm not giving up. I lost.
You are giving up. You should give them more money and needle your friends into giving them money.
When it says give up, do you have an option of paying them money so the game's not over?
Yes. Of course you do.
Oh, see, there you go.
Of course. Because King Games are fucking awful.
Hey,
evil people.
So just give them money, Katie. You guys here? You'll be a giving upper.
And the other thing about Candy Crush is actually my mom is very pretty. She said, I'm almost done, because she got through all the levels. And then Jeremy informed her that they actually continue to make levels, and then she was really sad.
She was. She thought she'd reach the end
she'd
of the internet
the
sort of a thing. She thought she'd beat it because she could see like the last level. Yeah. And then I informed her that, no, they just released new ones.
The best part about that is I just got an update for it to update. It's funny.
So
I'm done with Candy Crush, and I didn't even have to beat any levels. Actually, I beat like 6 levels, and I'm like, this game sucks.
We're interrupting each other again, people. Let Andy talk.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. I was going to talk about the IPO for Candy Crush. So their IPO that was originally listed, they estimated themselves at being about $7 billion. Which is ridiculous considering, like, the entire Star Wars franchise was sold to Marvel for, like, $4 billion.
Yeah.
Marvel Studios, you know, the little juggernaut that makes the Avengers and all the other things, that was sold to Disney for, I think, like, $2 billion? Something like that? But Candy Crush, we're $7
billion. Sure you are.
So when they released their IPO... they ended up losing. They went down from it was like $20 or something like that a share, down to like $19 a share, which equals out to, if you put up to $7 billion, they lost like $1 billion when they went live.
Of their fake pretend money.
Of their fake pretend money.
I hate when I lose fake money. Fake money is the best money.
Could people explain the stock market to me more? Is that topical?
But yeah.
No, we don't have time or energy for that one.
Yeah. Or inclination.
They're just awful people that make shitty games.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
As Katie's still playing it.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to continue playing
it. Are you going to press the give up button, Katie? Are you a wimp?
I hate the fucking give up button because I'm not giving up. I lost.
Hey, no, Katie, if you give them a dollar, you're not giving up. You are choosing to fail.
Like, I have tons of those puzzle games on my phone and on my tablet and everything, but they all have one thing in common, which they don't. They're not completely random so that you just get fucked over by them. They're all puzzles that have an actual solution that I can figure out. Random things coming down and fucking me isn't fun.
In the butt button?
Random people coming over and fucking me could be fun.
Elton John's here.
Depends on the people, sure. You know, that would be more fun.
That would
than
actually
Candy
be
Crush
a really
being,
good story.
People coming over at 2 a.m. in the morning. Fortress America, motherfucker.
Yeah, sure.
Elton John comes over naked with Fortress America.
All of that is more pleasant than having a mission that's blow up all the blue candy and then it never drops a blue candy to match them with. Like, that's just stupid.
Yeah.
Take that, people.
Sounds like marketing. Because then when you're done with that level, it says, you want to buy some blue candy?
No, and then they say, wow, you sure suck, little tiny penis man. You want to give us more money and we won't tell any people about your tiny penis, you loser?
They really say that?
Pretty
much. I've never gotten that message.
Well, that's because they...
That must be you specific.
It is.
they know how to target each person. Each person.
That's targeted advertisement.
No one else has a give-up button because they knew it would only bug you.
Yeah, they knew that would bug you the most. Me, I'm self-conscious about my tiny penis.
That's King's brand new game, Annoy Nathan Saga.
Yeah. It's not a difficult game.
Would you like to view Star Trek Into Darkness?
Fuck! No, I would not!
B plus.
You have like 30 other cons on the ship. Why are you chasing him? Like, he's not the only person with his super blood. All of his crew members have his super blood. Oh, God, fuck you, Andy. Why was Spock chasing him? They have so many people with the same fucking blood right there in cryogenic storage. You just go inject
they had
blood.
They had the shield drop.
I thought Spock wasn't that smart. That was the whole shtick, was he was pretty dumb.
Well, he is a retard Klingon.
Yeah.
I mean,
a retard Klingon? Really?
Khan's blood was super gooder, though.
Why? Like, they have the personal transportation devices that Khan uses to go over to the Klingon planet. Why don't they just, like, strap that onto the things and warp them into a sun? Why didn't they need to trick the Enterprise into shooting them as missiles? That's very convoluted. Alternately, just set them on fucking fire. Like, there's a million ways you can kill 20 people who are asleep. You don't have to trick a crew from your Navy into taking them on board secret missiles to shoot at other aliens just because you had an escaped convict go to that... Fuck!
I feel
who
like
wrote
all,
this piece of shit?
I
and
think
that
was all necessary.
Yeah, that's
B plus.
Hey, he's making the new Star Wars.
But he made the first Star Trek, which I really, really liked. And he liked Super 8, which I like 90% of, except that pickup trucks don't survive head-on collisions with trains with minor fender damage. Like,
have
what
you
the
ever
fuck?
Heard of the suspension of disbelief aspect of stories?
But I can suspend the disbelief in space travel. I can suspend the disbelief in Vulcans and Klingons and all that stuff. That's what suspension of disbelief
Also, the age of that gorilla, you could also suspend the disbelief of that.
The
movie.
Story being shitty is not suspension of disbelief. Believing that phasers work is suspension of disbelief. It's not an excuse.
I feel like maybe you're just picky.
Counterpointed. Boom.
Why would the villain do that plan?
It was more entertaining.
He wasn't thinking three-dimensional.
Lapse in judgment. He saw a pretty girl.
Why that? Why not even have the thinking three-dimensional? Like, that's the thing. They call up old Spock and say, yeah. Hey, how do we defeat Khan? And the answer is, Khan uses 20th century thinking. Not in this one. Now it's just, he'll just be dumb for no reason. Like, so the entire fucking calling of Spock was pointless because they don't even use any information that he could provide.
I think you need to rewatch this movie again.
They don't defeat the villain using any logical...
I think you need to rewatch this.
You beat him on a train, and that train was two-dimensional.
Yeah. No, it was a garbage truck.
Yeah, garbage truck. He was going...
How do you defeat the super soldier? Just punch him a bunch. He'll lose eventually.
Well, that sounds perfectly
fine.
Yeah,
that's how I beat him.
That's pretty much how Rocky beat everyone ever.
Oh, no. He didn't win the first match.
What? The underdog always wins movies.
Rocky never won his first
draw. Not the first match, no.
And he didn't win the second match either.
Well, he eventually wins.
Blasphemy.
He just punches their fist with his face until they're tired.
Have you actually seen Rocky?
I've seen all the Rocky movies, yes. Well, not the newest one. I haven't seen Rocky.
You need to see that, because that movie is amazing.
That one is legit.
I heard it was good.
It's like Rambo.
The problem was
that movie is amazing,
the problem
too.
Is I saw the new Indiana Jones before I saw the new Rocky. And the new Indiana Jones shat on the entire franchise.
Last Crusade? I liked Last Crusade.
Last Crusade was good. That's true.
Yeah.
Mm.
Last Crusades.
I see what you're doing here.
Katie's cracking the code again. She's on top of it.
Speaking of suspension of disbelief, it's not suspension of disbelief to ask why they stucco each other into the wall every single night for hundreds of years in case somebody stops by. Eventually someone's going to stop by, keep stuccoing each other into the wall after every piss break.
Hey, you never know. Maybe you lost track of time. Now it's like habit.
For generations, this entire race of warriors have been stuccoing each other into the wall 24/7 just in case somebody stops by.
The movie does have the exact same flaw of Raiders of the Last Ark, though. There's two critical flaws in both those movies that match up.
Yeah?
At the end of... So the villain, at the end of this last movie, she opens up the thing and then she gets killed by the alien technology.
So, like, Indy could have just let them win and they would have lost anyway.
In Raiders of the Last Ark, the bad guys open the Ark and they die. So really, in both movies...
Indy
really
was completely superfluous.
Not only superfluous, in Raiders of the Lost Ark, if Indy had done nothing, they would have opened that arc in front of Hitler.
Yep.
So Indy actively prolonged World War II and the Holocaust by trying to stop the Nazis from getting the Ark.
Yep.
That's still my favorite part of part 3.
I read that in a Cracked article.
I mean, too.
High five!
Actually, it was a big deal on How I Met Your Mother a while ago. I'm sorry, Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory had a big thing on it.
They did have a big thing.
By the way, we're recording now. I'm missing the season finale, the series finale of How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm very sad right now. I have to go.
I'll watch it next week when it comes on Hulu.
Yeah.
It'll be spoiled. There's going to be some things. It'll be spoiled tonight.
Brian, do you really think people are going to manage to spoil this for me?
Yes.
They get married.
What?
He meets his mother.
He meets his mother?
He meets his mother.
That'd be creepy.
Meets his wife.
For his first time. Hi, Mom. Who are you?
No, she's already on the show.
I had a child?
You could have everything spoiled to you. Just everything. You know the movie Tremors? It's about like the things that are in the ground.
That's true, it is. I've actually seen Tremors.
Graboids.
I've seen Tremors.
When I saw Tremors, I was really scared, but it was okay because we had a basement in our house, so they couldn't get me.
No, they could come in the basement.
No, because it's cement. They couldn't get through the cement.
No, they would
break
right
into
the
armored cement basement thing.
Yeah, no, they don't.
Yeah, they totally do.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
They come in through the window. That's different.
No,
they
come in right
through the wall.
They
break through the concrete.
No, I don't remember that.
And then get their faces shot.
Lies! Lies and slander.
I can't wait to see a horror movie later this month. Jeremy's going to love it.
You know, I can't.
I want to see Oculus.
Nice.
You know what's interesting about that movie?
Hey, the 1984 Terminator is now available on Netflix.
Nice.
For their updates, it's Events Warrant.
I didn't realize that Oculus is actually done by WWE Studios.
They're one of the.
They're one of the one of them on there. I just saw the name on there. I'm like, oh, they actually made a movie that doesn't star one of their own wrestlers.
Yeah,
that's
interesting.
Random.
They stopped doing that a little bit.
Andy, yeah. Speaking of movies, I wanted to go see the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, not a.
I want to. I'll see it too.
I'll see it. Yeah. I'll see it. But
Okay, it has one. It's like right up my alley for movies that are amazing. And two, it's got like a 91% on Rotten Tomatoes.
And three, Bill Murray.
That's because everything Wes Anderson does is amazing.
Yeah. So
are we going to see this tomorrow
night? I've just never seen a Wes Anderson film, and I haven't really felt the need to.
Maybe
they're easy to not bother seeing. Like they don't. Even as somebody who likes the movies, they just kind of like, you'll see one commercial and then it's just gone. They just kind of like pass like a fart in the night, but they're always fucking amazing.
It just seems to me.
The Submarine one was my least favorite of his.
And it's still
a good movie.
Yeah.
It just seems to be, it really tries very, very, very hard to be eccentric, just to be eccentric, and that. I don't know.
I would argue that the Wes Anderson movies
be right up your aisle. Like, I don't even know what you're doing right now.
I don't know what I'm doing either.
The Wes Anderson movies, I think, are one of the, I like them because they feel like they're just naturally eccentric. They're super eccentric, but it feels natural. It's kind of like it's kind of like comics and stuff that try to like be wacky and nonsensical for the purpose of it annoy me. But Axe Cop, I love because it's legitimately nonsensical. Like, with heart. It isn't them trying to be nonsensical. And Wes Anderson's the same way. Like, they're just, the characters are eccentric and the stories are eccentric, but it doesn't try too hard. It feels more natural.
So it's natural, like Alex Hipster natural.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. It just is. Like, he just legitimately wants to wear a bowler hat and a bow tie and a monocle. That's not hipsterism. It's just how he is.
All right. Well, I'll give Wes Anderson some shots. I just never watch any of these things. They just kind of, like,
Zappy.
Interesting.
Gumball.
Wait, what? Now I need to go watch Fantastic Mr. Fox again. I like that movie a lot.
I don't know why we're not reading a Zappity Gumball question.
We can. Sorry, Wes Anderson.
Wes Anderson. He's a...
When did you want to go see this? Tomorrow?
Well, yeah. Tuesday's the cheap night.
It's cheap night, and it's showing at Marcus.
I have to fix my car.
I
have to
don't
paint.
Know what to tell you.
I have to paint, too. I've got two versions of Sturgis to paint. Zappity Grumble.
There's two Twitters.
Two Twitters? Go ahead.
All right. We don't need a timer for
Dark
this.
Dark Legacy asks, would Katie like to play board games at Adepticon?
Sure.
Zappity.
Grumble.
All right. Matthew Lust asks, will you play Game of Thrones board game 2nd edition at Adepticon? Best backstabbing game on the planet. It is one of my favorite games of all time.
It's not nothing personal. If we want to talk about backstabbing.
Yeah, I was going to say it's the second best backstabbing game in the world because clearly Lust has never played Nothing Personal.
And is he
Well,
better?
It's not really backstabbing. It's front stabbing and side stabbing and head stabbing and lots of stabbing.
Another game we played recently that has a lot of backstabbing. I just can't think of what it was.
Was it diplomacy?
Travis is about to stab me in diplomacy. Like, he moved all of his things into position to attack me from behind because Austria was getting too big, so I'm attacking Austria. And Travis moved all this stuff, and I messaged him. I'm like, Travis, I'm not dumb. I know you're about to attack me. If you do, Austria wins. And he's like, yeah, I'm debating if I want to hear you bitch about it at Adepticon. That's my defense against being stabbed, is being a whiny little bitch about it.
All right, then.
That's tactics.
I don't know that it is.
But yeah, no, I would like to play some more Game of Thrones.
But Travis, you should know that if you attack him, he'll just stop attacking Austria and throw 4 damage at you for no particular reason, even though you're in last place.
You agreed with me. We were aligned against Brian. You're like, okay, I'm going to start my turn and fuck over Nathan.
No, I was going to do both of you guys because...
Whoa. Wow.
You guys were both doing really well, and I was doing really, really poorly. So I was going to attack you with one thing and Brian with another thing, and then you're like... Ruff, ruff, ruff,
ruff. I don't think you know how alliances work. First of all, flawless me impression. Needed to be a little more nasally, but that's okay.
It's like Game of Thrones when Jeremy just did his little torch thing on you.
You were just like, eternal enmity, don't care if it costs everyone a game.
Actually, I won that game, so haha.
That's because Mo doesn't know how to play. Yeah. Mo won you the game.
I wasn't going to attack you for the torch. I was attacking you because you didn't understand the concept of why not to torch.
I understand the concept, and there was no reason not to torch.
So you obviously don't understand the concept.
I stand by my decision.
You continue to not understand the concept then. So I had to teach you a lesson.
The lesson was Mo's bad at that game?
No, like, your concept is like, I'm standing here and I have a knife. I am obligated to stab somebody. And yes. My point is, you're allowed to set the knife down and not stab anybody.
Disagreed.
This is why you always get fucked over in the first half of every game. Because turn one, you just stab everybody like a retarded monkey. And then we all turn, bitch slap you into oblivion, and then play the game.
You are the howler monkey.
Yeah, maybe don't just stab everybody randomly. There's tactics involved in not being aggressive. Make friends.
See, this is funny to me because he was just telling me how that was his strategy in this last foretold game is he wasn't stabbing anybody, so that's how he made friends. And
surprise, you won.
He should have won.
No, he did win, Jeremy.
He shouldn't have won.
Oh, he shouldn't have won. But he survived. He defended, and it worked. People weren't attacking him because he wasn't being a dickhole. Well, lesson learned.
To be fair, it was your fault for rolling all sixes on all those offenses, so I had to burn too many cards killing you in order to kill him.
Yeah, if he'd had cards left, I would have supered.
Sorry, if I'd known that that's what it was, I would have just been easier to kill.
To be fair, when I came at your heart, you rolled really high. I didn't appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, I'm well known for how high of numbers I roll on D6s.
Nathan complains about dice at Adepticon. He gets kicked in the nuts.
Punch Nathan in the nuts. So if anyone complains at Adepticon,
if anyone sees it happen and Brian is not there, you need to immediately run and find Brian. I don't care if you're in the middle of a tournament. You just leave your models on the table, say, leave it on my death clock, run, find Brian, and tell him Nathan's bitching about his dice.
We should give out Brian's number so people can page him.
It would be legend. Wait for it.
No, Darren. Not going to wait for it. I think it'd be better if they didn't run and find him. Like, if, like, Friday, at 8 in the morning, I complain about dice, and then somebody sees Brian on, like, Saturday noon, and they tell him, and then, like, Sunday at 3 in the afternoon, he just runs in and punches me in the nuts. Like, the delayed reaction. It'd be like in Color of Magic when the luggage shows up 30 chapters later.
Every time you see him for the rest of the week, you just be like, oh, God, is this when it happens? Right. It'll be like the slap bet.
Yeah, except with Nathan balls. In my fist. Oh, yeah. You rolled a lot of sixes when you played Foretold.
I sure did.
A lot of box cards, which was frustrating.
Yeah.
That's true. Grumble.
Zappity.
That was Twitter.
All right. So Evan Hall asks, do you guys ever suffer from War Machine burnout? If so, what have you done? Have you don't to overcome it?
I think he meant
don't. What have you done to overcome it?
I didn't play for a year.
Honestly, that's how I think most of us dealt with it, is you stop playing.
Honestly, for me, I switch factions. If, like, I'm super burned out on War Machine, I'll switch back between Rhett and Legion. Factions, I'm like, oh, man, I love the game already.
A lot. I will take – sometimes I'll take a week off if it's really bad, a couple weeks, but usually it's pretty short. Or we were going so hardcore. I could have went to a tournament on Saturday, but I needed a weekend off to get my brain reset. So I just played board games for the weekend. Just something completely different for, like, a week and then go right back into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a week or two off is fine, but, like – I've seen people take, like, months off because they're burnt out. And for me, I don't need that kind of time as long as I switch factions.
Yeah, switching factions helps. Helps to collect more models.
Punch Nathan in the balls.
That would also help.
Yeah.
But seriously, why do they even have starships if there's personal transportation devices? Like, you could strap those on cargo. Like,
Zappity.
They've cured death.
I'm going to attack you again.
Okay. The Grumble?
You were so angry.
So today I'm playing a game. I'm playing a game of Agricola.
Are we in the middle of Zappity Grumble right now?
I'm playing a game against Tim Agricola online. It's a good story. And where he sits like three desk cubicles away from me. And I'm playing a game. I do a move to steal all of the food, which he needs desperately. And he stands up and he says, "How dare you?" He stands up and shouts across the room, "I'm going to go Katie all over you now for that." It was just hilarious.
I don't know what that means. I am such a nice player.
Yeah. He was so mad.
As long as we don't ever get on your bad side.
Let's flash back to my first game of Lords of Waterdeep.
Hey, it was the correct move.
I've never played that game again.
She nut stomped Andy right out of the game.
Well, he took a spot she wanted, and she went crazy on him.
Well, no. I gave her
mandatory quest. Yeah. He made it impossible for me to win.
Yeah. So she took him down with her.
I did the right thing, but then Katie just centered all focus.
My mom to this day is afraid to play board games with Katie and I because of a game of Lords of Waterdeep.
This is why I have to taper back my competitiveness.
Is it?
Well, that's why co-op games come in handy sometimes.
Yeah.
I think you should just open up a can of whoop-ass on people at War Machine and they can deal with it.
That's fine. I have to be better at the game.
70.
Grumble.
All right, Cliff Hughes asks, trip to outer space or the bottom of the ocean?
Space.
Ocean.
Space. Space. Want to go space. Space.
Bottom of the ocean.
Ocean has stuff.
Aren't you two the one that are terrified of going to the bottom of the ocean?
I've also,
and all the things in the water?
I'm also afraid of space.
Oh, well, fair.
Space would be boring.
Space is bigger, and I've seen...
Spaceship!
I saw Gravity.
Well, yeah, and then I saw The Abyss. I mean...
Whoa!
Counterpointed,
but... space just seems so
wasn't Gravity in
beautiful
the Abyss the
and
same?
Peaceful. Like... One of my only
giant lantern fish?
Right. There aren't giant monstrous lantern fish. It's a bleak and death. One of my biggest hopes in my lifetime is that there will be affordable passenger flights into space so I can experience that. Like, my bucket list is one thing, which is go to space.
Hey, they have the new Mile High Club planes that are over in Las Vegas. You can actually go and pay to
fuck
sex.
Somebody in an airplane?
Yes.
I don't know what that has to do with space. How is that relevant at all?
You're talking about passenger trips. It's close enough. Just go up there.
I think it depends where you're going on each of them, because like a reef would be really cool in the ocean, but like a deep abyss in the ocean where there's lantern fish.
I mean, if I had my choice, I'd say neither, to be honest. I mean, I'm just saying you gave me two choices, neither one I would want to do. The whole getting into space and the whole zero gravity and the whole going up thing is too much like effort.
Sorry, I'm just flabbergasted by Andy's leap of logic there. It's like you talk about going to the bottom of the ocean. He's like, remember that scene in Mean Girls where she fucks the guy in a pool?
No.
Maybe Andy just really wants to go to Vegas
yeah.
and try out this new thing.
Yeah, to buy a high club.
Zappity.
Do they provide the person? Or do they just provide the
No.
money?
You can probably
no,
get
you,
the person.
You,
it's Vegas.
It is Vegas.
You could
Actually,
do
Vegas,
that.
Vegas, it isn't legal. It's the rest of Nevada.
Yeah.
That's funny.
All right, Grumble. Jason asks, when is Nathan going to quit the charade and admit he has a thing for Katie?
I didn't know there was a charade.
There's a charade?
I'm also confused.
What?
Zappity.
Grumble.
Wumble.
And Jason asks, again, also please have Nathan rant on the cool Kurt Joshua Russell debacle. He needs another good laugh.
That was last week.
That was two weeks ago.
We moved on.
Long story short, Cool Kurt's awesome. Josh Russell is a boil on my testicles. Meow.
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 Zabity.
Grumble.
Keith has recently revealed that he can't handle betrayal in games. Which one of you betrayed him the most to cause this?
The friend he brought to Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah. that's the worst betrayal I've ever seen. And what made it so bad is that it wasn't a betrayal on purpose. Like, yeah. It wasn't somebody saying, I'm going to fuck you over. Somebody saying, let's be friends.
It was so good.
I should explain the situation again.
We talked about it on a podcast once, but we were playing Battlestar Galactica, and it was the most perfect game of Battlestar Galactica ever.
It was going too well.
Everything went perfectly for the humans.
If you accidentally dealt out five human cards, it could could not have gone better.
Right. Like, we were literally one jump away. We could not possibly lose enough population for it to matter. And we were to the point where one person had to advance the track once, and then we were jumping. Like, there was no way we could ever lose this game. And for probably three turns, we'd all been saying, one of you has to have...
No, you were telling because
Katie was in the brig.
So we were saying Katie.
So we assumed Katie was the Cylon, and we're like, Katie, you need to reveal, or your partner needs to reveal, because you guys are so fucked.
Yeah. So for like three turns, we've been saying this and saying this and saying this. So finally...
Because Katie had to be a Cylon, because there's no way...
There's no way the Cylon was loose on the ship helping us that much.
I wasn't a Cylon.
So literally the turn before the game ended, his friend was like, oh, I guess I'll declare I'm the Cylon. Oh, I'd have the other Cylon card. Hey, Keith, you want to be on my team?
So the second to last turn, he declares, and the last turn, he makes Keith a Cylon too so that Keith can lose.
And Keith was to his right, so it wasn't even like Keith got a turn as a Cylon. Keith went from, we're about to have the most victorious win ever as the humans, to... I just got crushed the worst ever as a Cylon.
He looked so defeated. So
man, I wish I had a video of it. It was so of
no,
like
a picture. I want to freeze frame that and just frame it.
You have to have like freeze frames, like the
the face dropping. Because I had to stone face it, but that's I was almost as bad when the game screwed me over that hard. The one where they dealt out like I was human and we were doing great. They dealt out loyalty cards. I got a Cylon card. I jumped us.
Yeah.
So I took my turn. I jumped us. I get a Cylon card. The next person is Brian, who uses a special ability to get us all the way to Earth. Like, and I'm just like, oh. So I lose. Like it was that far. I was looking at my card while he's doing his turn. Like, he's like, so I lose. Okay then.
Enjoy that moment. Fun game.
Fun game.
I remember.
I did a high risk move, but it worked out.
Like anybody who's played the game will understand the math of this. I got my Cylon card. I got the second card. I never got another turn.
Yep.
That's how fast it was. I literally never got another
turn. As a Cylon partner who was one to his right, I didn't get another turn.
Yeah. Christ.
Yeah, that was terrible.
That was pretty good.
Zappity. I just remember a lot of anger after that game. I didn't play it.
You didn't?
I remember being very happy.
Crumble.
So, Paul Johans.
Giamatti?
Nope. Paul Johans is asking, which Kickstarter model do you think will make the biggest impact for the meta?
The Kador one.
I go for the Kador.
I'd say probably Kirk's guy.
Is it Ikos or Ikos?
Ikos looks legit as just a super solo.
He does, Ikos. But I think the Kador one legitimately runs the Conquest well, and I think you're going to see him all over the place. He also runs their other jacks well. A lot of their casters have feats that benefit a jack outside of the battle group.
You're all underestimating the power of splashing an out-of-faction colossal into any list you want. I mean, let's not pretend that's not a big deal.
It is, except it's terrifying to think you lose that model. You have no way to reactivate it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the scary part with that.
It is the scary. Well, you can't drop it against Backlash or anybody with, like, you know, super long-range attacks. You just have to protect him. Rhett can't get to him necessarily. He could be 8 inches behind that thing, which has decent range. I mean...
It does. It's scary.
It's people who have, like, range 20 going on. Like, you know, Signar has snipe on things that are natively ranged, like, 16 or whatnot, and that's a lot scarier.
And he's very one-shottable.
He is very one-shottable. No. But I think that's going to be a big deal.
It could be.
I think the natural stealth on Aikos, whatever his name is going to help him a lot.
I think I'm going to play with him and Leviathan.
Yeah. Leviathan is pretty
I think you're
going to
see a lot of them. I think pretty much the only one you're not going to see is the Rhett one. And maybe someone will figure out a way to make her awesome. I haven't figured it out yet. But
Rhett players don't bother to figure out what things are awesome. That's why they don't play Nail.
Well, the thing is we don't need to figure out what's awesome anymore because Vengeance just gave it to us all on a platter. So no thought required. But I think they're all good. I argue that the Kator one's going to come out on top as the best one. We'll see.
But best and biggest impact on the meta are not the same thing.
That's what I mean, biggest impact.
The question, I would say biggest impact is the fact that everybody can take Galleon now.
Not Krix.
Okay.
Or Rhett.
60% of the big factions can take Galleon.
Menoth and Kador can take him.
Signar too.
And Signar.
Yeah. Yeah,
Signar's 60%. Not going to probably take him over Stormwall. Maybe.
Mercenaries can take him.
It's not over. Over isn't the point. With is the point. Okay.
I mean, no, I don't disagree. I don't think it's going to happen. Even if it was tactically the right decision, which I think I'm on the fence about, it's so expensive to buy a Galleon that's not in your faction if you don't also play Mercs. That I don't know how many people are going to wind up doing it.
If it's
good enough, you might see it at a high level.
People will do it.
Will do it.
But we'll see.
It'll be crazy. Zappity-ish.
Grumbly.
Jeff Henley asks, if you could write a screenplay for a War Machine movie, whose story would you tell? I think the easiest point is just about any Signar caster. I mean, it's Stryker.
I don't think
Kator really would. I think Kator would feel more of like a bad guy, because they kind of are. They're kind of.
Yeah, but there are great movies where the bad guy's the protagonist.
Or not just bad, even specifically the Soviets. I mean, Enemy at the Gate. Yeah.
I think Gorshade would make a great War Machine movie. He interacts with several of the factions. He himself has the, like, as a villain, has the fall from grace, where he was, like, a great researcher and then falls into evil times. I mean, you'd have to do something beyond what the fluff has done right now as far as his comeuppance, but I think that'd be a great story. It involves Kator, it involves Rhett, it involves Crix.
I think with a different... I think him dealing as the villain of the story.
Yeah, him as the villain. Yes. That's what I'm saying, is him as the villain. But like him as the center point of the story, because
I think
it brings in so many different aspects.
That's good. I think we should just find a random Bile Thrall and follow his life.
You know, Reinhold.
Reinhold and Bile Thrall.
Bloody famous. Yeah. Or I want a buddy comedy like the Hangover movies starring the drunken shenanigans of Gudrun, Rorsch, and who else? Who else could be hammered?
Borka.
Gudrun, Rorsch, and Borka just gets blitzed. Hangover Iron Kingdoms edition.
They wake up completely. They don't know where they are.
Don't know where they are.
Scar is naked in
the room. That already happened to Rorsch. My favorite actual legit league fluff is where Rorsch wakes up in the... Wait, no. He goes out to the desert on a task from Carver, but he was drunk when he got the job, so he has no clue what he's supposed to be doing. So he just wanders in the desert aimlessly killing humans. Because it's as good a thing to do as anything else until he remembers what he was supposed to do because he was so fucking drunk. Like, that's amazing.
That's pretty good.
All right. Zappity.
Is that a grumble? What? How much more we got?
We got a couple more.
Okay.
Stuart asks, what if butt all butts for all butt time?
What if butt all butts for butt time?
For all butt time.
What if butt for all butt time? Time.
What if butt all butts for all butt time?
What in the butt?
Yes. I'm going yes. What is that, like, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck, but it's butts?
No.
How much butt could a butt?
How much butt?
Could butt?
What
buffalo,
if,
buffalo.
What if butt all butts for all butt time?
Zappity.
I continued. Yes, grumble.
I'm actually saying it correctly. So
I don't know, but Stuart is not.
I don't know if it's supposed to be gibberish or if there's an autocorrect screw up somewhere. I'm trying to change like if to is. Like, what is butt of, like, what's the greatest butt of all time? Is that what he's saying? I don't get it.
I thought we zappity.
Just move on. Yes.
What if butt? All right, is it grumble? Rumor has it that you're coming to Springfield for the...
Sorry. That was reflexive from the rumor has it, which I know was on purpose.
Rumor has it that coming down to Springfield for the Kill and Grill. Would be great to have you all, as I missed you out on the end of round one rage quit at Mayhem Cup.
Who was that?
That's Sean Nichols.
Huh. Jeremy, myself, and Jordan are on one team for the Killing Grill. If we can get another set of going.
When is it?
It's July 29th-ish.
Oh, is that the one that you...
Yep.
Yes.
Springfield, Missouri. It's 10 hours away.
Yeah. It's where the original War Machine weekend was.
I'm super interested, but it's also super goddamn far away.
And I tried to convince Katie, but she can't go.
I can't. I'm already taking time off for something else that Jeremy told me we were going to.
It's Daikon is what she's talking about.
That thing.
Okay.
Yeah. But you can come to this, too?
No, I can't take that. I'm not taking that much time off for War Machine. That is frisbee golf time that I would be eating into.
No, I understand.
So, you know, there's a reason that I'm getting married about 100 yards away from a frisbee golf course. You know, I know these things.
Priorities.
Yeah.
And that's it. And everybody should look at my awesome Rex that I have online as well.
I saw your Rex. It does look cool.
Nathan didn't see it.
I liked it on Facebook.
I've been working the last 11 hours.
Not an excuse. Like,
my stepmother was up here yesterday, and we were hanging out or whatever. And
your dad came for a visit.
Right. She's married to him. That's why she's my stepmother.
Well, you didn't say, like, my... Shut up.
The anecdote involves her specifically because there's a conversation that was about to happen. So she was asking when I work today, and I said, I think I work... at 9, I know I work until 7, so I think I start at 9. And she's like, no, that you probably start at 10. I'm like, no. Like, she's like, that'd be 10 to 7, that'd be a long day. I'm like, no, that's a short day. Like,
You've been working your ass off lately.
Yeah, I'm doing 6 10-hour shifts a week, and it's bullshit.
It is bullshit.
Yep. Then you're going to work all of Adepticon as well.
Yeah. Today, tomorrow.
Yeah, why did you volunteer for so many Adepticon shifts?
I'm only working Thursday. And Sunday. Friday and Saturday, I'm doing dick all.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I dropped from Masters Qualifier on Thursday specifically in case I would accidentally qualify for the actual Masters on Saturday. I'm like, shit, I don't want to be locked into not only playing all day Thursday, but if I actually do well, I'll be locked into playing Saturday, and fuck that noise.
Yeah.
So,
recommendation?
I recommend you open your computer, because, oh my god, there's a lot of dust in there, and you should clean it out. At least that's what just happened to me. My computer's been, like, crashing and freezing, and I'm like, oh, I need a new computer, because the thing's, like, 8 years old, so I just assumed I needed a new computer. No, it turns out there was just an entire animal inside there, just based on the amount of hair and dust that was in there.
I recommend sleep.
Yes.
I recommend Belgian triples. It's a delicious kind of beer with a high alcohol volume.
Mm, it's not Two Women.
No, it's delicious. Not Two Women.
I just bought a 6-pack of Two Women. It's delicious.
I'll be bringing some of that down.
No, you bring your Spotted Cow. I'll bring Two Women.
No, I want to bring Two Women.
Okay,
too.
You can bring Two Women.
Yeah.
That'd be Four Women.
No! Bazinga.
I've got no recommendations.
You recommended everybody look at your wrecks.
Oh, yeah.
You also recommended a board game earlier. I forget which board game. Oh, you recommended Mall of Horror.
Mall of Horrors.
Which I agree with. That's a fun game. That's a good backstabbing game.
Yes.
Not how I played.
That's true.
I played the right way. I recommend an NBC show called Hannibal.
Ooh,
I watched all of season one last week, and I watched the first 5 episodes of season two on Sunday. I couldn't stop. It's very, very dark. I mean, it's about Hannibal Lecter.
Right.
So it's very dark. It's like it kind of replaces Red Dragon, kind of pre-Red Dragon.
Yep.
And the acting is amazing. The quality is good. And it's just such a dark show, and all these crazy serial killers are running around. I will say, though, the one problem with the show is every so often someone's like, I wonder if Hannibal's a bad guy. And then he kills him because, he can't be caught yet.
Yeah. But so
he
kills like him. And
it's kind of like Dexter, but
it does feel like Dexter.
It's just imagine just much more dark and much better. Well, all the actors are amazing. Like Lawrence Fishburne's in it, and I don't know the actor who plays Hannibal, but he's really good. And the guy who's
he's creepy.
Yeah, no, the show is amazing. It's very dark.
Is he a lumberjack?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right, we're done.
That was episode 65. Thanks for listening.
Doesn't Nathan get a recommend? Meow.
I did. I recommended cleaning your computer.
Oh yeah.
Go first.
Okay, weren't you going to recommend Foretold?
I went already.
We did that for a half an hour.
Yeah.
You were playing Candy Crush. Did you give up like a loser?
Because
real people would have paid them to win.
I know.
Then sued people for using the word saga. And then sued other people for making your game before you did.
And they went in space.
What's the fucking logic for suing someone for making the game before you did? How dare you?
And then Spock punched him.
That crazy Klingon.
Okay.